How a Christian household should look has been greatly corrupted by the culture that we're in. If you go to other countries and get to experience other cultures, and you'll see the relationships between husbands and wives, between parents and children, between children and their parents, and the whole entire relationship to the household and the world, you'll see that there have been some element of maybe what seems like godliness, but then other elements. And that's why it's so different for every different culture. Okay? Every culture, it's different. And it has been, like I said earlier, corrupted by the culture. In fact, you'll hear people, and unfortunately I hear Christians who get caught up in this, that'll call the Bible obsolete because the things that the Bible says to do don't fit for today. Now, instead of us recognizing that God's word is the truth and saying, then there must be something wrong with today, we follow along and accept what they say about the book being obsolete. And then you're in a path of a dangerous destination, and you're setting yourselves up. This is a topic that we have totally messed up, and you just don't see it. I grew up in one that called itself a godly household. I raised one or had one myself, which I called a godly household. I've seen many that call themselves godly households. Now let's stop and see, what does God look for in a godly household? To understand this, we must answer the question, and this has come up in many of my counselings. Many people just ask some basic questions. What is the head of the household? Hence the name, head of the household. Now, following Joshua's inspired lead, the head of the household is responsible for their entire household. Do you understand that? And key word being responsible. Not rule over, and we're going to keep going over this thing, but look at what he says when it shows responsible for. In Joshua 24:15, and as he's speaking to the people that he's leading, remember, he's the leader of these people, but he says, but if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your forefathers served, whether the gods your forefathers served beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you are living. But watch this. As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Do you understand what he just said? He said a thing of, oh, this is what's going to happen. Now, I know it may sound like a ruling, but no, this is the main goal and purpose of everything we do. Hopefully every Christian already knows that. I shouldn't have to do a whole sermon on what is our purpose down here. I think we've touched upon that. So with knowing that, he's saying, so this is what me, if you notice, he said, as for me, he started with himself first. This is what I must do. In other words, be responsible to God. And so will every aspect of my household. And what does that mean? We will serve the Lord. Now, if I stop there, you'll get many people going, amen. Problem is, they'll serve God their way, which means you're not serving God at all. If your child's version of obeying you is listening to you only when they want to, that means they're disobedient children, correct? Think about that. Okay? When I do things my way, then I'm not doing it the way that I'm supposed to. I'm supposed to do it the way God says. Are you with me? We must recognize God always outrules man. He says it in Acts 5:29. Peter and the other apostles replied, we must obey God rather than man. He always outrules. So all of these things I'm talking about, the main center is going to come to, what does God say? Do you understand? Not what does my pastor say, not what does my husband say, not what my wife say. No. It's what does God say? Because that's what it all leads to. Now, though head of the household leads back to marriage, those that are not married still fall under a head. Everyone must recognize and always acknowledge their head, which leads back to God. What this means is you have a lot of single mothers out there. And what ends up happening is they feel emboldened, and I get it, because they're usually left alone, but they're feeling and they become the heads of their household. Or are they? It says in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 3, he says, "Now I want you to realize," this is one of those, "I need you to recognize, I need you to know, verily, verily," however you want it. He says, you got to get this. And I could assure you, many people ignore this. He starts off with, "I want you to realize that the head of every man, not just a husband, is Christ." Now, let me stop there. Because usually when you have a lot of single men, they tend to think, since I'm not married, then I can do what I want. Which is implying, when I get married, I answer to my wife. Wrong. Do you understand this? See, a Christian answers to God, whether married or not. We're going to see that in a little bit. Right? So when he shows the head of every man is Christ, that means the man is going to have to answer to Christ based on God. Think about that. Every man. Everything you do, think of it this way. If he asks, "Keith, why did you do it?" Your answer will be, "Because your word said." You get this? But then it goes and it says, "And the head of the woman is man." Now, if you notice, this said the head of every man is Christ, because every man has the same head. But when it comes to the woman, her woman happens to be a man. This is where it becomes difficult. This is where it becomes hard to swallow. And I get it. Because we have done a horrible job as men, but unfortunately, so have women. In this world, when there's singleness, or when they're left alone, or when you're widowed, what tends to happen is you get this sense of independence. And that's what Satan wants, because that's why he says, "I want you to realize." Satan's goal is, if I can remove the man from the position he was ordained to be in, and make the woman think, "I don't need that man," even though he says, "I want you to realize you have to have this," now you are in danger. And you got many single women households, you understand this, that are in danger with their children. He ends this with, "And the head of Christ is God." Now you got to take this in. Once again, if you take it in culturally or take it in intellectually, you're going to struggle with this. You read what he says, this is one of those warnings which makes us go, "Oh, wait a minute." But you want to stay outside, unprotected, so be it. It breaks it down to let us know that every man, especially the husband, must answer to Christ. And the head of every woman is a man to the wife, that is the husband. We're going to break down how this concept works. Because usually when we hear the word head, men have taken it to mean, "I run things, I answer things." Once again, they're doing it based on them, based on the culture, based on whatever, okay? But not doing it based on God. What does that mean? Following Jesus' lead, the head of the household only leads as he is led. Watch this. John 18:15 through 16. Here's a great example. Jesus said, "You judge by human standards. I pass judgment on no one." Now, what is he saying first? He says, you guys set up how humans do things based on human reasoning, on how humans lay the foundations of things, and that's how you deal with things. He says, "I don't do it at all." He says, "I do not do it at all." That's why it starts with, "I pass judgment on no one." Now, look where he continues. He says, "But if I do judge, my decisions are right." Why? "Because I am not alone." Look what he says. "I stand with the Father who sent me." Now, what is he saying? What you will see is how I respond to you. I'll fully have the word to what I'm doing. That's how it's supposed to work. Why am I responding the way I do? It's fully based on God's word. Now, when I say fully, because you got some that know scripture to fit what they want, but they missed that it is also written over there, and you're held accountable for that. When you use God's word to distort, remember he says, to their own destruction, and misuse, all men are you in danger. So don't be those guys that pick a scripture to fit your agenda. You make sure what scripture is really saying. I can't stress this enough. As Jesus is, he says, "I stand with the Father." Now understand this. Worldly ruler traits are never to be mimicked by the heads of the household. In this world, The worldly ruler traits have made this whole thing of puffing up self. You have leaders that really feel as though, you know, praise me. You ever see it when they want to go down and they're waving and people are praising them and we're going, yay. We even do it here to a certain extent, unfortunately. We get that person up there and then they stand and we put their pictures up. All this nonsense. We're worshiping them. And then they do things to always let you know, I am in charge. I did it because I am the lead. I did it because I could. You see, worldly leaders lord over, while godly leaders serves. Matthew 20, 25 through 28 breaks this down for us. Jesus came to them together and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles, watch this, lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. What does that mean? They do things just to let you know they're boss. I've had managers like that. They would just make rules so you know they're in charge. Had nothing to do with the work, had nothing to do with the project, had nothing to do with what was right or wrong, had everything to do with, because I told you to. That's lording over. I'm going to make a rule, which really has no significance, but to let you know I'm boss. Now, I know in today's world, we have people that, you know, discipline is not there. So some people think they have to do that. But nowhere does God say we have to. I've had people in my family say that, do that with your kids. Sometimes just make rules. Let them know you're the boss. You know what I mean? Because I'd watch them. They could be disobedient sometime unless you are belligerent. And that's wrong. It's not how you're supposed to do it. Lording over and exercising authority, which means because I have it, I use it. This is what people get mad at from the police. They have the authority and they use it. That's an abuse of authority. You're going to have to answer to God when I just make a rule because I can. Do you understand? But it shows in verse 26, he says, not so with you. Do you catch that? He says, not so. So in other words, this is not how we're supposed to do it. In fact, he said, instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be your slave. What does that mean? Now, all of this is always based on God. So when this is your servant, not servant to do what you want for your liking, no, it's to be responsible for you. The difference would be is to somebody that you're trying to please versus to somebody you have to answer for. You see the difference? Okay. That's like versus me babysitting to somebody I'm trying to date, if that makes sense. If you just to give you a visual. Okay. We are responsible. I'm going to have to answer for how I am with you. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, he didn't come here to say, I'm the king, y'all supposed to treat me well, give me all this. No, this is but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. He came to do what God intended him to do for everybody else. That's why he couldn't get hurt feelings. That's why he couldn't get upset. You know, I mean, there are times they loved him. They gave him up for, you know, another prisoner. And there was other times they turned their backs on him. There are just stuff they did that could have and probably did hurt his feelings, but it wasn't about him. He just did what God said. So this means all godly leaders are responsible for, not rulers of. Get that in your heads. Too many times they get the head of the household and they get this puffed upness. Well, I got to make a decision because I'm the head of the household. No, understand, you do have to make a decision. And we're going to see how that works. But please make it that way. If you start doing it just as a ruler based on the world, you're putting your family in danger. And extreme danger. And there are more families in danger because of these lack of heads of the households. In other words, those that lead as dictators are dangerous leaders. Instead of, we're not going to read this whole passage, but you have this on your paper in Proverbs 28:16. But the first part says, a tyrannical ruler lacks judgment. That's the part I want to pay attention to. A tyrannical ruler lacks judgment. That's a person who rules knowing I'm the boss. What I says goes. I'm the man. Do y'all get this? A tyrannical ruler lacks judgment. So you get those, and I've seen those who become narcissists, who think head of the household means I'm just going to make a whole bunch of rules. When they come in, bring me my slippers, and the television channel has to be a certain way. In other words, they do things based on their liking. That's a horrible ruler. Nothing godly about it. Never, ever. In fact, a Christian leader's only standard is God. That's why it said in Galatians 1, verse 10, when he asked the question, Paul's inspired to ask, am I now trying to win the approval of men? Now, keep that in mind, husbands, for those who are not what we call the Lord over ones, but those who are in the realm of, I want to please my wife, happy life. There are some that do just what their wife says. Do you understand that? He says, or of God. So am I trying to win the approval of men or of God? Am I trying to win the approval of my wife or of God? Am I trying to win the approval of my kids or of God? Think about that. He says, or am I trying to please men? If I were still trying to please men, watch this, I would not be a servant of Christ. So if I did it to make my wife happy, I'm in trouble. If I did it to make my children happy, I'm in trouble. If I did it to make me happy, I'm in trouble. But when I do it because God says so, that's what I'm supposed to be. What this means is the head of the household doesn't do what he wants and doesn't do what the wife wants, but taking both into consideration while staying obedient to God, decisions are made. See how that works? So my wife has to be brought in every decision making. Okay? Now, I can't stress this enough. All right. And I've been there. In our younger age, there were times where I had to make a decision. And I'm not going to lie. Sometimes I made what I thought was best based on me. Okay, I was still ignorant in it. And my wife would question. Now, I already messed up because I was doing stuff based on what I wanted, thinking I have to make a decision because I'm in the head. My wife would go, why? And then she would go, I'm just asking. I just want to know. Not realizing, because we've been there many times, to where unless I answer her, watch this, to her liking, I wasn't going to win. Absolutely not. So we were both wrong. Me just making the decisions. Now, if in her wise, she would have said, I understand that the Bible says this, help me with this, you know, in other words, guiding me back to God. And there's a way to do it. And I'm going to show you how that is. We're going to see that later. You understand that? And me reverently trembling with God, making sure I go to her and go, this is the decision I want to make, but am I doing the right thing? And she may come back, yeah, the Bible said, you see how we're working together. It's how it should be. That's how I say it, by taking both in consideration while staying obedient to God, decisions are made. It wasn't until later in our marriage we started doing that. And we still don't do that perfectly, but it's got much better. Do you understand that? We recognize each other's roles. Where does this role thing come from? Believe it or not, it comes from God. This is not some man-made thing that we put into place. Man has distorted it, but God has put it into place. Now watch this. He says and lets us know that everyone must yield based on Christ. So how I respond to everyone must be based on Christ. It says in Ephesians 5:21, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. That word submit, the Greek word for it, some may be translated, it can be used in certain cases as obey or subordinate. This verse right here eliminates it, that being the final answer for it. Do you understand that? Okay. In other words, we can't obey each other. Do you know what I mean? There has to be a master and there has to be a follower. You know what I mean? So you understand that in those cases, right? So when it says submit to one another, and then it gives that out of reverence for Christ, what that means is how I deal with you better be based on Christ, not with how I want to or how you want to, how the world wants to, what society says. It better be based on what Christ says. I may have a boss that I either truly honor or despise. My response is, he's still my boss. Submit means yield. I always use this as when you're driving, the yield sign. I don't care if you're a Mercedes or if you're a Yugo. Do you understand? When you yield, that means if the car is coming, I have to stop. If there is no car coming, then I can automatically go without stopping. You see how that works? But it's in response to you, a response on where you're at based on Christ. Hopefully you get that. So Christ sets how all relationships should be. So with that said, it lets me know and every man know, okay, this is the title and this is the responsibility of the head of the household. The head of the household is the husband who is blessed with the partnership of the wife. Now, like I said earlier, in the ones who are not married, the women may go with, and who is my head of the household? It can most likely will still be the father. Hopefully it'll be, you know, the father that's still doing what he's supposed to, being responsible for. Even if you had your own household, you're raising your own kids, you still have a head. If it's not the father, It could be a brother. It could be a friend, believe it or not. This is all godliness. And the reason why our culture, this would be frowned upon, is because unfortunately, people allow emotions, sexuality, and all that stuff to come into play, and it really destroys it. That doesn't play a part in this. Do you understand this? As the head of the household, it means responsible to God. You get this? And it's going to follow this pattern. You don't follow this pattern. Once again, you single women, you're putting yourselves in danger. So what is the husband's role? Must love the wife correctly. Not just love the wife, love her correctly. Ephesians 5, 25 through 33 says, husbands, watch this, love your wives, pay close attention, just as Christ loved the church. Do y'all catch that? And gave himself up for her. Now, you get a lot of men that'll say, I love you. And then they give this weird response on how they deal with it. And the way they treat their wives has nothing to do with love. What that is. You understand it? Either you treat them like garbage and abuse them, either physically or mentally. That's not love. Or you do everything they want and spoil them and make them the person, everything they want. That's not love. Both of those are not love. He goes right into it. He says, just as Christ loved the church. And he breaks down. How did he do it? To make her holy. Holiness is to be used for the purpose of God. I have to look at my wife based on what God says, not how I see it. Cleansing her by the washing with water through the word. So that means in everything that I'm doing, which I should have already done for myself, is based on the word. Everything I do in our relationship, based on the word. And to present her to himself as a radiant church. Do you see the beauty of this? Okay. He says, without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. The outcome of that, holy and blameless, that means godliness. That means completely within God's word. Not your version of it, but what the Bible says. So even given a little clarity in verse 28, he says, in this same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. What is he saying? That we've already made ourselves holy, that we already cleansed ourselves with the word, that we are doing what we are supposed to be as godliness. Are you with me? He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated his own body, but he feeds and cares for it just as Christ does the church. So he's responsible for taking care of, looking after, once again, based on God. He makes clear, for we are all one members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, which shows my family, her family, have no say in my family. You get what I'm saying? So the family I came from, the family she comes from, they can make suggestions, oh, but that's where it ends. Do you understand? See, if my daughter were to get married, if she did follow this, unfortunately she's not, but if she did follow this, I'm still her head, unless she picked another godly head. But she's not following God at the moment, so hopefully that'll be something later. But if she were, but the minute she gets married, and that's where people follow the practice of giving the bride away, you're basically saying, now, that's your problem. Do you understand? Now, he is responsible for. They can come to me for advice. Do you understand it? But I don't say anything in that household. I watch my son and his wife make some crazy decisions. I can make suggestions, but I cannot go in there and say, y'all better not do this. What are y'all doing? He makes this very clear when he says, for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This even shows the power of how you can't lord over because you become one. It just means in that one, just like a body, you play the head, just like Christ is the head of the body of the church. And he ends it with, he who loves him, he says, this is a profound mystery, but I'm talking about Christ and the church. The reason why marriage is not going to exist when we all end up in heaven or people who go to hell, either which way, is because this is a sacred ritual that we tend to still do down here. It represents something. That's what makes marriage sacred. Now, the world doesn't understand. That's why they marry for a lot of other reasons or don't marry at all. You understand this, all right? But the church knows, and we are supposed to know, and our marriage is supposed to represent that. That's why he ends it with, however, each one of you must love his wife. That means how I treat her, how I am with her, my response to her, as he loves himself. That's how my relationship is with God. And the wife must respect her husband. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. The whole relationship with Christ in the church was hinged on his relationship with God, done God's way. The same must be with the husband. If a husband's making decisions just to say they made a rule, they still are going to have to answer to God. And when God goes, why did you make that decision? And you come off with the, well, I thought, I felt, my responsibility, instead of going, because your word, your sound, solid word says. Think about that. Please think about that. You see, the husband must always consider and respect his wife. Always. 1 Peter 3, verse 7 says, husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives. What does that mean, be considerate? I have to take her into consideration in every decision, every rule, everything we do in our household. Right? She has a say. Now, God has the say over anything I want to. And then when it comes to us too, I have to go to her and say, okay, this is, we have to make a decision on this, and we talk about it. When you practice this, truly put this into practice, man, it is a first an honor to God. It is blessing your household. It's placing into a protection that Satan has nothing over. When you allow emotions, feelings, desires come into play, you're in a mess. When I just make a decision despite my wife, or when I make a decision only because of my wife, I put us both and the rest of our family in danger. But if I don't take her into consideration, recognizing she is my partner, that's why I says treat them with respect as the weaker partner, as heirs. The reason why he puts weaker is to let you know he made one strong for a certain purpose. Do you get this? Just like women can only have babies, right? Men are meant to be the heads. He ordained us. And he strengthened us to have this. Do you understand that? Okay? And so we have to recognize that. And we have to know that it is with you of this gracious gift of life so that nothing will hinder your prayers. Right now, men's relationship with God is all over the place due to their lack of relationship with their wives. Their bad relationship. You have more men that are depressed and running around and having crazy things. Why? Lack of relationship with their wives. When they try to do it, they try to do it their way. Try to guide them back. Let's see what God says. Have the godly relationship with your wife. Not you going in there and shoving the Bible down their throat. Not you running around throwing scripture at them. It's you both working together in the Lord. So understand this. Husbands must never be harsh to their wives. Colossians 3:19 says, husbands, love your wives. Once again, we saw how that works, just as Christ loved church. But watch what he says. Do not be harsh with them. Now, that seems so simplistic, but it's a powerful verse to let you understand physical and mental abuse, you will answer to God. There is never, ever a reason or a right to harm your wife. Now, I know in our culture, women can harm their husbands. There is a way of doing it, but husbands have an ability to overcome that if we stay in the Lord. Do you understand that? However, because we become the heads to our wives, we have this strength that if we abuse it, oh man, I can't even imagine what God's going to do to us. Hopefully this is scaring you to death, because no man should physically, and even worse, mentally harm their wives. Makes that clear here. Now, wives, understanding your role. The wives are ordained as the partner, and they must recognize the importance of the roles. Wives must recognize the husband as the head. Now, when it says recognize the husband as the head, it's not a, well, this is a nice position, and if you do well, then I'll allow you to do it. No, 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 no. What God is saying, that's what he is. When it says in Ephesians 5, 22 through 24, wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. And then he makes it very clear in verse 23, for the husband is the head of the wife as Christ is the head of the church. Now, I've heard many wives go, well, if he was being the head, then I'd let him be. That's not what it says here. Now, going back to it being the head doesn't mean ruler, doesn't mean emperor, doesn't mean bow down to. No, 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 no. Okay? Head of the wife means he's responsible for you. And the only way you have access, unfortunately, is through him. Brilliant what Satan does. Satan goes, All I got to do is remove the man. Woman, be as powerful as you want. Even in the church, when he says you can't have a head pastor, you can't. There's a reason why God did that. We allowed emotions and desires and all that to come into play. And Satan said, remove the man. You look at churches, man. Men are missing. Even when they're there, they're missing. Decisions are being made and everything's being made without the man. He said, husband is the head of the wife. It says, as Christ and as the head of church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. You understand that? That submission is recognizing their role as the head. So you have the wives, and you do have men that are not being heads, that are horrible. Okay, and this is a majority. I hate to say it. So wives, so what do I do? Should I rebel? Should I ignore? Should I? No. There is a formula that God has given because he knew this was going to be a thing that exists. Where we let's wives are to know the God-given process of guiding their husbands to be the head. 1 Peter 3, 1-6 is, wives, in the same way, be submissive to your husbands so that. So right now he's saying, being submissive ministers. Did you catch that? Please know what submission means. It doesn't mean you walk around groveling, doing whatever they want. That's not submission. Do you understand? It doesn't mean you do exactly what they say. No, it means you just recognize their position. Okay? So how's that work? He says, if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over, watch this, without words. So you giving speeches and you going over things and you explaining to them and they don't listen to me, nonsense. You just ignored God. You're not listening to God, obviously. You catch this. The way you're going to win them over is when they see. It says by the behaviors of their wives. What are they looking for? When they see two things, the purity and the reverence of your lives. So in other words, purity. What you do is not the church's version of godliness, not your traditional version of godliness, not your family's decision or a version of godliness, not your culture's version of godliness. It's going to be God's version, the way of godliness. That's why it says purity. It should look the same from every single woman. And the reverence, you'll do it no matter what. They see you live in serving God no matter what. It ministers to them. So for those who finally will take it, this is the form that God gives. He makes it clear that your beauty should not come from outward adornments, such as braided hair and the wearing of gold jewelry and fine clothes. Instead, it should be that of the inner self, unfading beauty of gentle and quiet spirit. Now, many mess this up, and he's not talking about clothes. He's saying, understand what true beauty is. Now, you'll get many in the world, and the way the world does it is they'll try to do stuff to look more beautiful to their husbands, to win them over. And that's what the world does. And all you're doing is luring them in a way that's doing it through the flesh, which means they can be lured away the other way. Do you understand it? You're using the world's way. He's saying, no, there's another beauty that has nothing to do with what you're wearing, on the stuff that you're putting on the stuff that you have on the outside. He's saying there's an inner beauty, an unfading beauty. And once again, two qualities, gentle and quiet. Now, don't get the quiet wrong. We'll come back to that. It doesn't mean you say nothing. It means how you say stuff. Gentle is going to be how you do stuff, how you provide. There will not be passive aggressive. There will not be anger. There will not be tension. There will not be attitude. You're going to be very careful that it's not done to make you so you're not angry. Women don't realize the power you have over a man. Do you understand this? So it's not about you. You never want them to make a decision because of you. If you do, you also became part of the problem. That's why it says, which is of great worth in God's sight. You understand this? This whole thing comes down to us, to the women recognizing this. That's why it shows. And just follow this example. It says in verse 5, for this is the way the holy women of the past who put their hope in God used to make themselves beautiful. Did you catch that? Not from putting on stuff. And if they did that, that wasn't their beauty. It was how they were. They were submissive to their own husbands. They didn't allow some other man to say something about their household. Do you understand that? The only other man that had a say about their household is God. Catch that. and they don't browbeat and beat up their husbands. They're very careful. That's why it says, like Sarah, who obeyed Abraham and called him her master. And some people like love to go to that verse and say, see, you called him. No. Sarah recognized he's the head. If you remember the story, Sarah messed up at first when she was the one who said, okay, take my maidservant and take her as your concubine and have a child with her, and then we'll have a child, and then God be our blessing. Not following God. So she messed up originally. But it's showing this as later. She finally caught on, you're the head. You didn't hear of her interfering in that way anymore. You heard him going directly to God. He says, you are her daughters if you do what is right and don't give way to fear. Don't react based on how you feel. You react based on what God says. Now, with this also in the household, there are children at times. Children must be raised in God the authority. Now, look at the difference here. Wives are to submit to their husband, but teaching obedience to children in everything. So Colossians 3:20, children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. See the difference? Didn't tell the wives to obey the husbands, just submit to them, recognize their role. This one, we have to raise them understanding, they have to understand we are the heads. They have to understand the parent is the head. They got to understand those roles also. Do y'all get this? This is something that you must learn to do. Now, when you do this, you're honoring God. When you start using these psychological and these world and these progressive ways and what we're doing with our children and trying to mold them and to think themselves and allowing them to do what they want and blah, 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 all this now goes outside of God. And this is why we have chaos and nobody really honors God. It shows that children must be raised to honor and respect their parents. Not in their way, we have to raise them with that understanding. Ephesians 6:1-3, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. This is not necessarily just for the children. This is for the parents. I have to raise them to obey me. They didn't obey me. Excuse me, what did you say? There has to be consequences. You watch it from a young age, they'll tell the kid no, and then the kid will keep doing it, and the parent does nothing. You already failed. Miserably. Wait, what did I tell you? You have to establish that. That's something that must exist. It says, honor your father and mother. They must respect. There is no talking back. There is no attitude. My children were not allowed to have attitudes. That would raise their punishment, whatever they're getting. It says, which is the first commandment with the promise, that it may go well with you, that you may enjoy a long life in life on earth. The head of the households are responsible for not frustrating their children. Now, where we mess up is we added our own element. I've watched some fathers and I even watched some mothers who raise their kids based on how they think they should be. We want them to be superstars in sports. We want them to participate the way the world does. I had to step back and watch, and you'll have, they got to join the sport. I encourage they should do something. And you want to guide that, but be careful not to put them in a frustrating position thinking, well, everybody else in the world is doing this, so everybody, then you should be doing this. If everybody else is playing basketball, then you should be playing basketball. If everybody else is playing football, then you should be. Don't do that. That's not what we're meant to do. You do encourage them to do something and tell them, you got to do something. You understand that? And I will encourage, I'll fit it as long as it falls within God and you're putting your hands to something. Okay, I have no problem with that. But it says in Colossians 3:21, fathers, do not embitter your children or they will become discouraged. I must say, both my mom and my dad put me in that many times where they would follow what the world said you're supposed to do in certain ways and not follow what God says. And they would almost force that on us. And we would do it almost to a point of, only thing I was thinking of is I can't wait to get out of my house. And it didn't go away when I left. A lot of those didn't come back and go, oh, I see what they were doing. A lot of it was they wanted me to mold me in their way and I didn't want to be there. It was very frustrating. But the way you get around that is while not frustrating them, they must be raised in the Lord. Ephesians 6:4 says, fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and the instruction of the Lord. Unfortunately, I see a lot more men and a lot more young ladies who are being raised to be good worldly men, good worldly ladies, and they know very little about God. I have too many family members right now that are taking their kids to church just to say they're taking them to church. You sit down, they'll know more about video games. They'll know more about sports. They'll know more about worldliness, stuff like that. Very little about God. They'll give a hint of God, and we want to clap our hands and say, isn't that great? Instead of bringing them up in that, you should see their reaction, their love. You know what I mean? I have a niece I know, and everything that she does, she wants to be godly. Praise God every time I see it. It ministers to me and it touches my heart. And it's a shame because we don't see that in everybody. And it's not something that we're not doing. I wish I would have done it in my own kids, and I did not. When it all comes down to it, this head of the household is a structure that God put in place for a much bigger purpose than how we always look at it. So for this to work, for us to recognize everything that I said, not take it personal, not to ignore it, the key to being successful head of the household is revering God. Psalm 128, 1 to 4, starts off with, "Blessed are all who fear the Lord." Stopping right there. This one includes everybody. You saw me give you scripture, so now your next reaction is to do what God said based on scripture. I can assure you, many are going to go, "Well, all right," or "I'm trying," or "There's no fear of the Lord." The rest of this is meaningless. But he's saying, "Blessed are all who fear the Lord, who walk in his ways." You see this? It says, "You will eat the fruit of your labor. Blessings and prosperity will be yours." Do you get this? "Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Your sons will be like olive shoots around your table." And then it ends it with, "This is the man, blessed, who fears the Lord." If I follow and do what God says, everything else will fall into place. If I keep trying to force that, if I keep trying to force my wife to be the wife I want her to be, and not, you know, and all this, and force my kids to be what I think they should be, and I do all of it my way, I'm not only failing my family, I'm failing God. This is a very important topic that we must really deal with holy hands, being totally led by God, representing God in every way. Let us recognize this ordained sacred position of being the head of the household and serve the Lord acceptably. Let us pray. Dear most gracious Father, once again, thank you so much, dear Lord, for the love you continue to give us and the guidance you continue to show us. And we just ask for your continual help on our positions, our roles, and understanding, for us to live in reverence, for us to check your word, that sound doctrine that gives us guidance on all that we need to. We know at times it may seem fuzzy, it may seem confusing, doesn't seem to fit, but the key word I keep saying is seems. So thank you so much for the faith we have in you, just trusting in what your word says and just going with it. We ask you to bless those heads of the households that they readjust. We ask you to bless those who are under them to recognize their roles and to act accordingly. Help us never to harm our wives as husbands, to consider them, and let the wives always recognize the roles of the husband. For those who are single, to recognize this is not just talking about marriage, it's talking about the whole entire group as you have shown. So let us walk in a way that honors and glorifies you at all times. And forgetting what the world does, in all that we do, we will serve you. We ask this in your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ's name. We say, amen.